Okay, good morning. We want to welcome you here to the Queen's Ministry, our morning fellowship, the Bible Breakfast Fellowship study time, and we're thanking God we have another opportunity to join with you in the study of God's Word. We are here with a brand new message on today, God's grace, and though it may be a new lesson for our setting, it is certainly not a new message found in the Bible. For the word of grace, or the theme of grace, the message of grace is definitely in our sacred word, God's sacred word, from the beginning to the end. It is who He is. God's grace is not something that He puts on and takes off, but it is part of His makeup, His characteristic, His attributes. So we are going to delve into this very familiar theme once more and again to familiarize and remind ourselves that God's grace is important. That amazing grace that He offers to us is important in our lives. We want to open up with a word of prayer here at the Queen's Ministry. And again, we thank you for being a part. Whether you've joined us this morning or at a later date, we want to say to you, good morning. God bless you. The Word of God reminds us that we have all come together to worship and to praise our God. Oh, be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength, for we will sing and praise your power and your name. Father, we thank you on today. Thank you for this opportunity to come together. And though we may be in a virtual setting, we are still grateful and thank you for this time of gathering. So bless your people. Open our hearts and our minds that we may be receptive to what your word has for us. And even if we come to this message at a much later date, we still pray that the power and might of your presence be felt, Lord God, and that the word would open up and, Lord God, touch hearts and minds that we may receive all that you have. Now bless again each one that's here. Open our mouth, Lord God, that we may speak well, speak with clarity, and speak with understanding, that we all may receive just what you have. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, we say good morning and thank you all for being a part of this morning fellowship study time here at the Queen's Ministry. And again, I am Elder Mary Ellis, your facilitator for the morning. Let's begin with our lesson, again entitled God's Grace, with this verse. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That's found in John 1 and 17. Amen. And we're going to be going, walking through the Bible with this particular lesson. So if you have your Bible handy, please get it out. If not, so that you can read along as we call out these scripture verses so that you can follow along closely and get just what it is that the Word is saying. And not only hear me say it, but see it for yourself in God's Word. Okay, let's begin with our opening thought. God, who is the initiator of grace, that's right, grace begins with God, gives us a great example of this attribute that we should emulate, or we should follow, or we should do ourselves. With a better understanding of the characteristic of grace, perhaps we can take captive the thoughts that are stealing. And you know, the enemy wants to come and steal those good thoughts and those good things that God has placed in us. He wants to take it away from us, but he is a liar. We're going to stand firm in God. But perhaps this lesson will help us to captivate those thoughts that are stealing grace from our lives and keeping it from being poured out on others. Amen. The gospel message is the good news of God's grace. Let me repeat that. The gospel message is the good news of God's grace. So it is important to know what grace is and to constantly seek to get a better view of what grace does in our lives. Amen? Grace is a constant theme in the Bible, and it culminates in the New Testament with the coming of Jesus, God's Son. That's right. Again, as I said earlier, grace is not an unfamiliar thought or theme in the Bible. It is not something we happen upon. No, grace is from page one all the way to the last page of the Bible. And it culminates in the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, so we've talked so much about grace in these first few moments. Let's get a working definition for all of us so that we all can be on the same page. What would you say is a definition for grace? Let me give you the technical term. The technical definition of grace is, grace is a theological term presented in many religions. It has been defined as the divine influence which operates in humans to regenerate and sanctify, to inspire virtuous impulses, and to impart strength to endure trial and resist temptation. That's a definition of grace from the likes of the Wikipedia, the dictionary, and the likes. But we don't want to be so technical. We don't want to be so uplifted in our understanding of grace that we don't even get the understanding. So let's break it down so that we all can understand what grace is. Here's a working definition we all can use for grace. Grace is favor. God's favor or kindness extended to mankind. Let me repeat that. Grace is God's favor or kindness extended to mankind. God's favor or his kindness extended to mankind. It is also his mercy extended to mankind. It is also his love, his forgiveness, his salvation extended to mankind. So we see grace is, again, initiated by God. It is what he wants to give us. Grace is what God wants to give us. Again, it is something that is out of his character, out of his attributes. God is gracious. And again, he doesn't become gracious when we meet him. He's already gracious, and he acts out of that graciousness. He acts out of that willingness to give to us, even though, and we're going to talk about this in a little bit, we don't even deserve it. Amen. Grace is, in another term, unearned kindness. You could put it like that if you want to write it that shortly. Grace is unearned kindness. Yes, God is willing to give us, even though, again, we may not be deserving of this favor or kindness that he bestows upon us. But it's because he wants to. Come on here, somebody. And he delights in it, that he offers it to us all. So that is a working definition of grace. Again, it is God's favor or kindness extended to mankind, or you can simply put down unearned kindness. That's what grace is. God has given something out of himself to us that we certainly have not done anything to deserve. The Hebrew word for grace is chen. C-H-E-N, shen. The Hebrew word for grace is shen, C-H-E-N. And we look and find it in the Greek, charis, charis, C-H-A-R-I-S, charis. And we hear this root of it in the word charismatic. We see that sometimes applied to preachers or teachers or individuals, leaders, or those that are out in the front doing great things as being charismatic. So charis is the Greek word for grace, C-H-A-R-I-S. Okay. And so as we look into our Bible, remember I said we're going to walk through this and find out what God has to say to us concerning grace. As we look in our Bible, we see there is a symbolic term or an analogy that the Bible uses repeatedly concerning grace. And we find that in Ephesians 4:7. I'll give you a second to get there. Ephesians 4:7. And I'll read it in your hearing. Ephesians 4:7 says, "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." Let me repeat that. Ephesians 4:7 says, "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." What is that saying to us? It is saying that all of us, each and every one of us, individually, all of us was giving grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. In other words, we were all given the grace of God through Jesus Christ. And it is not the measure of our faith in this particular instance, but it is the measure of Christ's giving to individually different gifts. And we all look around, we all see that we are all not made up alike and all function alike, and we all don't do everything alike. That's because we have given different gifts, abilities, skills, and talent through the grace of God. Here's another version of that same verse and found in Phillips' translation. "Naturally, there are different gifts and functions." There it is. "Individually, grace is given to us in different ways and out of the rich diversity of Christ's giving." I'll repeat that for you so you could get an understanding, a better understanding of what this Ephesians 4:7 is telling us, that grace is given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. And that is naturally, again, Phillips' translation says, "Naturally, there are different gifts and functions." We all see that just looking around. "Individually, grace is given to us in different ways and out of the rich diversity of Christ's giving." Amen. In other words, out of the generosity of Christ, each of us has his gift. Out of the generosity of Christ, each of us is giving a gift from God. Amen. So I asked the question, why is this important to believers? Well, just think about it for a moment. Why, knowing that the grace of God is given to each one of us, in a different manner or a different measure, why is this important? Well, each believer has God-given abilities. So that goes to the point sometimes of others feeling less than because they're not doing what somebody else is doing. Oh, we ought to get out of that mindset, because we are all important in the body of God. That's the analogy there, that we're all connected, that we all make up the body, and that we all have a significant part to do, even if we're not on the outside. Sometimes we're working behind the scenes, but without the behind the scenes person, things may not work out well. All right. Amen. And I use as a point of reference, I say it all the time, but I thank God for some of the behind the scenes people here at the Queen's Ministry. And I want to use it, and I'm not overlooking anybody, but I just want to say, for instance, our Sister Connie Ward, I mean, many of you may not even recognize that she's the one mailing out many of the things that you receive or that you get in the mail. We can deposit it in her hands, and she makes sure every member is aware and receives the information that was given to her. Behind the scenes, not asking for anybody to say, "Hey, look over here, I'm doing this." But thanks be to God that she has this ability and skill set to do such things. And there's others, and I can go down the list, and I thank you all, and I'm not pointing out one over another. And again, this is what this particular lesson is teaching us us that each one of us has an ability, and we are to do what? Use that ability to strengthen the whole body. So don't sit on your gift. Hey, we were in a setting together and we were touching and agreeing with one another. I would say, look at your neighbor and say, use that gift, neighbor. That's right. Go ahead. Talk to your neighbor who may be sitting beside you. Hallelujah. In the virtual setting, and say, neighbor, use that gift. Why? Because your gift, my ability, your ability, your skill, my skill, God works it all together, and it helps strengthen the whole body of Christ. And remember, it is a gift to use. It is your gift. I can't use your gift. That's just, think about it. If I went to your home and brought you a gift and went back home, I can't use it any longer. It is now your gift. You have to use it. Do whatever you will with it, but it is your gift to use. If you never use it, if you never open the box, if you never take it out, then you are not using your gift, and you can't wait for me to do it because it's not in my possession any longer. It is now your gift to use. So use your gift to strengthen the whole body. God has given us all a gift. Again, let's remind ourselves that we can't sit back and say, what do I need to do? Then you go back to the maker and say, Father, reveal to me what it is that you would have me to do as part of the body of Christ, that I may use my gifts to your glory and to your honor. Because I know today that you have given each one of us, according to your word, each one of us a gift or grace, according to the measure of Christ's gift. So I just want to remind us, it is important for us to know, believers, that we all are blessed with God's favor to do the work of ministry, to be a part of the body, to strengthen the whole. Amen. And don't look down on your position. If you are a doorkeeper at the door, if you are serving in the capacity of elders and minister, or you are serving and being an arm of the ministry in the role of our diaconate, or you are in an administration role, or you are just in the role of serving others and being out on the battlefield, out on the forefront, wherever you find yourself today, know today that you are needed and are connected to the whole, to uplift and to strengthen the whole. Amen. Our next question comes, then, what is the difference between grace and mercy? Well, I want to hold that question because we're going to talk next lesson on what is mercy. And so I want you to be able to recognize what's the difference between grace and mercy after you've heard our lesson on mercy. So just put a circle around that particular question. We're going to come back to that in a few days or a few weeks and kind of define that together. What's the difference between grace and mercy? It's a thin line, but there is a difference between the two. And we're going to come back and see after we've gone over what grace is and what mercy is. Amen. So we see the grace of God. What is the grace of God? It is God's, again, favor towards us. And it is, because God does this out of his graciousness, out of his love for mankind, out of his compassion for us. And he is inclined and wants to show us this favor. It is, and you can put this down, that the grace of God is his benevolence. That's B like boy, E-N-E, V like victor, O-L, E-N-C-E. It is his benevolence to the undeserving. That's what the grace of God is. It is his benevolence to those that are undeserving of his grace. We don't understand sometimes that because God loves us so very, very much, that is why he does what he does. And we are to thank him today that he is willing to extend his grace towards us, extend his love towards us, that we may understand that he loves us so very, very much, that he wants to extend his love and his mercy. So the grace of God is his benevolence to the undeserving. His benevolence to the undeserving. It is God choosing to bless us. That's God's grace. choosing to bless us rather than condemn or punish us, as our sins deserve. Amen. God's grace is Him giving the greatest treasure to the least deserving. Oh my goodness, I've said something there. God's grace is Him giving the greatest treasure to the least deserving. I was in my research, came upon this acronym, and I said, I don't recall seeing this, but they say this is something that has been shared over the years, and I said, ooh, let me pass this on to our students here. I believe they would appreciate it. So if you have the opportunity and a piece of paper, write down the word grace. G-R-A-C-E. And I'm going to give you an acronym for grace. And it is God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. Again, grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Oh my goodness. Simply saying, God's grace is Him giving the greatest treasure to the least deserving through Jesus Christ. Amen, somebody. And we look in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. And what we see in Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, we're not going to read that in your downtime. Take a moment and read that over. We see that those two verses tell us about God's grace is that it is a gift of God. Amen. Again, it is a gift of God. It's something God freely or willingly gives us. We can't go buy it. We can't go ask it for Him and say, God, this is what we want and need. It is something He offers, again, freely. It's a gift of God. And then it also tells us that we are saved by God's grace, by our faith, but by God's grace. God opens the pathway for us to be saved by our faith in Him, by allowing the gracious act of salvation to be meaningful to us. And then lastly, we see in these verses that it is not by what we do or who we are. We can't get grace because of some great act or service or ability or effort or decision or choice that we've made. It is a gift of God freely given to us, not because of what we've done, and not because of who we are, but because God wants to give it to us because He loves us so very, very much. And remember, let's go back. It is offered to all freely. It is a gift given to all of us freely as we understand and grow in the knowledge of salvation of who His Son Jesus Christ is. And it is through God's grace that we receive what He has to offer. Amen. So think about this. Why then is grace important to the believer? Listen, I've already answered that, but let's just make sure we all understand the importance of grace in our lives. Simply put, we would be nowhere. We wouldn't be able to make it. We wouldn't be able to sustain the life that we know now if it wasn't for the grace of God. Simply put, we would be consumed. All right? We would be, oh my goodness, destroyed if it wasn't for God's grace. Listen, what I want to do when we do have a moment to say hi, I want you to take a moment and think about, why is grace important to you? That's right, you individually, you. I want you to answer as you greet each other this morning, your answer to why grace is important to you. All right, so the Bible teaches us then that grace is completely from or of God. Again, it's not of our works, of our efforts. It is completely of God. It is something we can only accept and thank God for and be willing to share, but it is completely of God. And we find that in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 through 10, that grace is completely of God. Amen. We have a few moments left here, and I'm just going to jump into this real quickly. Again, I'm going to give you the verse. We won't have time to read it, but I want you to read it as I give you the answer to the particular question here in part two. We're going to do at least a first couple of questions here, and we'll pick up next week, God willing, and finalize this portion of our lesson. But let's go to Romans 5 and 10, and I'm right here in part 2, and it says, because of his benevolence, there's that word again, God chose to offer us several benefits of his grace. So there's some benefits that we get out of God's grace, and we go into Romans 5 and 10, and again, I'm not going to read it. But I'm going to give you what I was able to draw out of that. And it is that Romans 5 and 10 tells us that he extends grace to his enemies. That's a benefit. And you'll see why as we go down further, why that's important. Come on here. Because I don't know if you recognize at one point in our own lives, we were the enemies also. Alrighty, so let's go to Hebrews 8 and 12. Hebrews 8 and 12 said he offers forgiveness to all that will receive him. That's another benefit of God's grace. Colossians 1, 19 through 20 says he also offers reconciliation through his son. That's another benefit of God's grace. Oh my goodness. John 10 and 10 says that he gives us abundant life. You know what Jesus says? I've come that you might have life, and not only that, but life more abundantly. So a benefit of God's grace is that he offers us abundant life. Amen. Let's move on to the next one. Luke 12 and 33 says he gives us eternal treasure, or an eternal treasure. We know what that is. Eternal life. Amen. Glory to God. Eternal life, eternal treasure, eternal fellowship with him. He gives us that treasure that we can only get through him. That's Luke 12 and 33. And then he allows, we see in Luke 11:13, another benefit we see is that he allows his Holy Spirit to live within us. Oh my goodness, that's news right there to cause you to be excited and be thankful for God's grace. The benefit of his grace is that the Holy Spirit lives on the inside. Hallelujah, somebody. Because again, that's important to us as believers, because if we didn't have the Holy Spirit living on the inside, well, I'm not even going to go there. You can understand for yourself where you would be if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost. Come on here. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus. And then the last one in that section there in part 2a, John 3, 16 and 18. Very, very familiar verse right there. John 3, 16 through 18 says, and he gives us a great gift someday of eternal life in heaven with him. Remember, heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be there also. He wants us to come and be with him. Hallelujah. Again, somebody. Listen, I've given you enough to get up and start shouting right there. Amen. Like Elder Hawkins encouraged us this morning. Come on, do your dance, everybody. Pick him up and put him down. That's right. We have studied so far that God's grace is truly, as the songwriter said, amazing, wonderful, great, gracious, and awesome. Hallelujah. What would you do without his grace? Why is it important to you? Amen. I'm going to stop right there and let you kind of get hold to yourself and kind of let all this sink in and let you be able to settle on what we said so far. But I thank God for this opportunity to share with you God's grace. And you can insert in there if you want to, God's amazing grace. Amen. Well, I thank you all for joining us here at the Queen's Ministry Bible Breakfast Fellowship, and I pray that you've been blessed, and I pray that you've had a wonderful time here this morning, and I pray that the Lord will seal that word in your heart and allow you to be able to feast on it throughout the week. Listen, this is Elder Mary Ellis, and I thank you all again for being a part of this worship and study time. May heaven continue to smile upon you is our prayer. Indeed.